Bless your name, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
For you're great and greatly to be praised. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. We are grateful to the Lord for his goodness again and his kindness. Let me get this situated here. All right. That might work. Amen. We feel in our hearts and in our spirit that on a large scale, we are being challenged. The day that we're living in is a challenging day. And I believe part or maybe the main reason for the challenge is because actually the coming of the Lord is nigh. And we need to, as one writer said in the scriptures, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We need to be set, like Paul, I believe, said, set for the defense of the gospel. We need to make our calling and election sure, because situations and circumstances are on the horizon, and we need to know where we stand. We need to know in whom we stand. We need to know what we stand for and what we don't stand for, what we agree with and what we don't agree with, what we will co-sign and what we won't co-sign. And it's going to cause for some agitation on several levels, but we should be ready. Amen? We should be ready. We should not be ashamed to stand for God. Whether it's a physical stand, a moral stand, a spiritual stand, we need to stand for God. And we understand that if we stand for God, we're not standing alone. We are not standing alone. We are standing with God. We're standing in God, and we want God to stand in us. And if we allow God to stand in us and we stand for God and stand with God, then we stand together with one another. One voice, amen, and the foundation of our voice and the foundation of our stand is firmly rooted in the Word of God. That's the standard, the Word of God. There is a scripture, I believe, that may be the overarching scripture for the thought on my mind, and that's found in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Amen. I want to talk about that prophet. Amen. That's this was the title of the subject that came to my heart and mind, that prophet, because there's a lot of prophets. Small p, but we want that prophet, capital P. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. I have the Amplified Version. This is what it says. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet from the midst of your brethren, like me, Moses. To him you shall listen. Now, Moses writing under the direction of the Spirit of God. He's alerting the children of Israel that in time to come, God is going to raise up a prophet. And Moses said, God's going to do this, and he's going to bring him up from the midst of your brethren. That means he's going to be an Israelite. He's going to be out of one of your tribes. And not only is he going to be out of one of your tribes, he said, like unto me. Moses is saying, basically, he's going to have the word of God. He's going to declare the word of God. And in fact, we read the whole story, so we have further insight that he is, in fact, the very word of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. Now, this prophecy that God gave to Moses, it was some 1,500 years later, records say, that it actually came to pass. But one of the wonderful things that we know and realize about God is once God has said something, it's going to happen. That's why it is so imperative that we know the promises of God. And God's promises, every word of God is yea and amen. So this is one of the prophecies that was indicating that there was going to be a prophet that was going to come. And this prophecy is the fulfillment of this prophecy is no one else but the embodiment of God himself as Jesus Christ. So this is the prophet that Moses, being led by the Spirit of God, was talking about. Do you remember in the early part of one of the Gospels when the child Jesus was born, there was a prophetess who was living. They brought the baby Jesus into the temple, and I believe her name was Anna, if I recall correctly, and the Lord had let her know that you're going to live, you're not going to transition from this side of eternity to the other side until you see the promised one, until you see the Messiah. So Anna, she was in the temple when Joseph, his human parent, and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple. And the scripture, if I recall correctly, says she took him up in her arms and began to bless God. And she blessed God, and she said, now your servant can depart in peace, because I've seen, this is the one that all Israel had hoped for. This is the Lord's Christ. This, and Christ, I believe, means Messiah. So this is the one. So this was the beginning, this was the physical manifestation of the promise that God had made. And we thank God, we should praise God, because he is a promise-keeping God. He's a promise-keeping God. That's why it's so important for us to know what he said. Because if we know what he said, then we know what he's going to do. Amen. I'm still hanging on to some of the promises of God. Yeah, there's some promises that I know God is going to fulfill, because I didn't make them, God made them. That's the confidence that we have. I want to slow down just a little bit, because I'm thinking about the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm thinking about. He said, this promise is unto you. It's unto your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the promise from God. That's the promise from God, and he is fulfilling it, and he will fulfill it. Now, I want to jump, if you allow me to jump, to the historical book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, in the third chapter. In the third chapter, because even in our society today, I think I mentioned in one of our Bible studies that people have a problem with the name of Jesus. They have a problem with the name of Jesus. There was a Navy chaplain who was being disciplined by the U.S. government for using the name of Jesus. Now, that was interesting to me. That caught my eye. So I called the White House. Yes, I did. Little old me, I called and left a recorded message. I said, y'all need to leave that chaplain alone. Let him teach and preach and pray in the name of Jesus. I told them who I was, because they already know. and hung up the phone. But that's the day and time that we're living in. Huh? When the government can censor you for using the name of Jesus. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, this is a familiar occasion in the early beginnings of the church. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man crippled from his birth, being carried along, and was laid each day at the temple gate, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, look on us. And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold, money I do not have, but what I do have, that I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Then he took hold of the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankle bones became strong and steady. And leaping forth, he stood and began to walk. And he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. There happened in this man's life, who had been sick and crippled, one version of the scripture says paralyzed from birth. And his only way of making an income was having somebody carry him, set him down in front of the temple, and he was begging. And Peter and John, they were accustomed to going to the temple to pray. And when they went, they looked on him. He told them, look on us. We don't have no money, but we got something that's better than money. How many people know that Jesus is better than money? Jesus is better than money. The power that Jesus has to change your life is better than anything that you can materially accumulate on this side of heaven. And it's so important to understand that Peter and John understood that they really had what this individual needed. How often do we come in contact with people who think they need something, or they may even have a genuine physical or monetary or emotional need, but that's just a surface or a symptom of the real need that they have? And we are walking around with the spirit of that prophet, which is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost on the inside, and with the power and the authority that has been given unto us who are baptized in his name and who have received his spirit, we have the power and the ability and the authority through the name of that prophet to impact and change the lives of everybody that we come in contact with. We have that power. Now, the first thing that we have to understand is that we have that power, and secondarily, we have to believe that we have that power. They were not in doubt. Peter and John said, look at us. Your begging days is over. Look at us. Listen, God has conveniently and strategically placed us on this day to have an impact in your life. Imagine the power. Imagine the authority. Imagine the feeling of servitude and glory and honor that you're going to see expressed here by Peter when they allow God to work through them to benefit somebody that God is trying to impact and change. You and I have that very same power. You and I can experience that same thing. You and I can serve God in that capacity because of that prophet. And his name is Jesus. So maybe there may be someone that you know that's paralyzed. And they may not be physically paralyzed, but they may be paralyzed in a condition. They may be paralyzed in their thinking. They may be paralyzed in a situation and don't really know how they're going to get out of the situation. But you and I, we have the power and the authority to go to them and tell them, look, I know you called me over here to talk about this, but we need to deal with what's really going on in your life. God is tired of seeing you in that situation. God is tired of seeing you carry that burden. And God has authorized me through the power of his Spirit and the authority that's in the name of Jesus to come and speak to your situation. I have the faith to believe that if you will receive it, you're going to be set free from that circumstance, from that situation, and from that trouble or problem, whatever it is, whatever is holding you back from fulfilling what God has destined in your life to fulfill. I come to speak to that today. I come to speak to that today, and I'm not coming on my own authority because I don't have any authority of my own. I can't naturally speak to that, but through the power of the prophet, through the power of Jesus Christ and the embodiment of the spirit of that prophet, he has anointed me and he has unctioned me, and not only me. Let's unpack this. He has anointed us and he has unctioned us through the power of his spirit to really turn the world upside down. Now, you know what would turn the world upside down? If everybody around us started getting set free, if everybody around us started getting delivered, if everybody around us saw the chains broken off of their lives through the power that's in the name of Jesus. We have an obligation and we have a responsibility to do the work that God has called us to do. And each and every one of us can impact somebody for eternity because of that prophet. So this man, Peter, grabbed him by the hand, took a firm hold of his hand, and picked him up. And immediately, his ankle bones—they received strength. They received strength, and he stood up, and he began to walk. And he didn't run away. he went with them inside the temple. Some people, if you help them, they don't really have a mind to be helped. You know, sometimes it is hard to break a beggar mentality. Sometimes, oh Lord, somebody's always looking for a hand out. But if you get a hand up, then your hand out mentality should change. You should be so happy that you would want to let somebody know there's a way out of your situation. There's a way out. You don't have to be the one on the receiving end all the time. You can help somebody else. So here this man went leaping, and he began to walk. He was in the temple, and he was leaping. I don't know what was going on in the temple, but when he got in there, things started happening. Yeah, because he was leaping. He was jumping, walking, leaping, and praising God. He made a ruckus in the temple. If you've been delivered, like this man has been delivered, then somebody in the temple ought to be disturbed with your praise. Somebody in the temple ought to say, what is he shouting for? What is she shouting for? You don't know. I've been in this way a long time. I've been suffering with this condition a long time. And through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I've been set free. So I'm going to dance. I'm going to dance. I don't mean to disrupt. Oh, yes, I do. I do mean to disrupt your service because God has set me free. All the people saw him walking about and praising God, and they recognized him as the man who usually sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement, bewilderment, consternation over what had occurred to him. Wait a minute, I thought that was Obega so-so. Yeah, but look at him now. He's up shouting and praising God. He started his own testimony service right there in the temple. Now, here's something that we have to understand. Verse 11 says, now while he still firmly clung to Peter and John, all the people in utmost amazement ran together and crowded around them and in the covered porch, which is called Solomon. And Peter, seeing it, answered the people. See, now, one of the wonderful things that I love about Peter, he was humble. He understood that it wasn't any power of his own. And this is the same type of mindset that we have to understand. When we're in the service of God, if God so chooses to allow us as surrendered vessels to him to work in his ministry, and God blesses somebody by our yieldedness to him, we need to be very sure that we direct all the glory, that we direct all the praise unto God. Because I hear God said it. He says, I'm the Lord, and I will not give my glory unto another. I hear God say he's a jealous God. So God will not give his glory to another. Peter understood that. So he called the men of Israel there together. And just let me say, I believe a miracle sets the stage for the introduction of the gospel. After the miracle, then comes the preaching. After the miracle, so. Listen, a miracle is good. I'm not discounting a miracle, but we need to get the reason of the reasoning and the power behind the miracle. After the miracle, then comes the message. Oh, so here, Peter in verse 12. Peter, seeing it, answered the people, you men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us as though by our own individual power or activity or piety or our own holiness, if you please, we made this man the wall? He was basically saying, don't get it twisted. It ain't about us. Listen, flesh cannot handle that kind of a praise, because we get beside ourselves. Don't let us teach what we think is a good class or preach what a good sermon is or witness and get two or three folks in and you put them down on your book. Well, I got so-and-so. You listen, all the glory goes to God. So here Peter takes this opportunity through the miracle that God worked through him to let the people know what was really going on. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, have glorified his servant and son Jesus, doing him this honor. So he's pointing the glory and the praise to Jesus. He says it's because of Jesus that this man's life has been changed. Now, we have that testimony. It's because of Jesus that every one of our lives who has really been changed is changed. We can't take any credit for ourselves. It's because of the power of Jesus Christ. It's because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. It's actually because of what he accomplished before the cross, because he was the only one qualified to go to the cross. He was the only one qualified to take and to live a holy, sinless life. He met the requirements of God. He was and he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Peter is saying, look, this is what God is doing. God is honoring and glorifying his son and his servant, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then he lets them know, this is what you did to him, whom you indeed delivered up. You denied and rejected and disowned in the presence of Pilate. Peter is saying, remember what y'all did? Pilate was determined to let Jesus go. Pilate understood that Jesus was innocent, but the people, the crowd said, they said, give us Barabbas. And so they crucified. Verse number 14 says, well, you denied and rejected and disowned the pure and holy, the just and blameless one. There's only one pure, one really holy. There's only one just and blameless one, and that's that prophet Jesus. That's that one. Now, if we have any holiness, and any holiness that we have, it's because we're in him and he's in us. So Peter was letting them know, this is what's really going on. This is what we have to declare to people in 2015. We have to declare that the holiness of God is because of the purity and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if anything that looks like there's anything good that's coming out of our lives, all the glory has to go to Jesus Christ. Point them to Jesus Christ. I hear Jesus said in one place, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Yes, he was signifying the type of death that he would die on the cross of Calvary. But after Calvary, who's going to still lift up the name of Jesus? After Calvary, some 2,000 years after Calvary, is his name still being lifted up? Is his name still being praised? Is his name still being used to work his ministry? It's not our ministry, but it's his ministry. It's not our power, it is his power. It's not our saints, it's his saints. He's the one that died. He's the one that went down to hell and preached to the captives. That same Jesus, Peter said, whom you denied, whom you crucified, God got him up, just like he said he would on the third day, according to the scriptures, and through faith in his name, through the power and the authority and faith in his name, this man you see before you now is standing in the temple praising God. Through faith in his name, every last one of us who has received the new birth experience, we should be standing right now. We should be standing right now through faith in the name of that prophet, giving God all the glory, giving God all the praise, giving God all the honor, because it's through this prophet that God, through the mouth of Moses, said he was coming, and God fulfilled and he will fulfill every word of his promise. I'm glad about that. There's power in the name of Jesus. When you talk about the name of Jesus, you're talking about the character of Jesus. You're talking about the integrity of Jesus. You're talking about the holiness of Jesus. I hear God said in his word, without controversy, greater is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. When the last time you seen God in the flesh? In the scriptures, we see him as Jesus the Christ. That's God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. John the baptizer was given the assignment, the same one who you see the spirit of God descending and remain. That's the one that fills people with the Holy Ghost. John said, I saw it, and I bear witness that this is the very God. I'm going to preach with teeth or without teeth, because when I get to heaven, I'm leaving this stuff behind. Rinse it off, if you will. But I'm going to preach this. Listen, this same Jesus, this same God, he was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. When was he seen of angels? After being tempted 40 days in the wilderness. He was hungry way, and angels came and ministered unto him. There's only one individual that so far meets all those categories, that prophet, and his name is Jesus. So without controversy, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on, preached, when was he preached? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Paul said, I don't know nothing but Christ. This is what I'm preaching, Christ and him crucified. So who's the one individual that met all these conditions? That prophet, and his name is Jesus. He was believed on in the world. What do you mean he was believed on in the world? Peter said, I can tell you, I was at my house. You know where I used to live, where I used to stay? In my old neighborhood, and I was praying. I went up on the roof, and I was praying, and God told me through a vision to go down to somebody's house named Cornelius. Give me a minute to put this upper row back in. He said, I was there. I got them in now. They might come out. Whether they come out or not, I'm preaching. So he said, I was there on my housetop. And Cornelius, he sent some men down. And then I had a problem. I had a problem. Peter said, I'm confessing right in my preaching. I was prejudiced. I had a problem because I thought only the Jews could be saved. And God showed me a vision. He said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. Peter said, oh, God, no, I ain't never ate nothing unclean. Then God had to get my mind right and said, what I have cleaned, don't you call unclean. Now get up, and get on down there to Cornelius' house because he's waiting for you. Listen, don't you tell me that God won't hear somebody's prayer. I don't care what they told you in the past. If God said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Cornelius was not a Jew, but he was diligently seeking God. Clue here, don't tell somebody who is not saved yet that God ain't hearing them. Point to Cornelius. God said, your prayers has come up before me as a memorial. And God said, because of your prayer, I'm going to send you a preacher. Pray. Somebody might get a preacher if y'all start to praying. Pray, and God will send a preacher. Cornelius prayed. So God said, Peter, I got to get your mind right so you can go down there and preach to them Gentiles. So Peter said, all right, God, here I go. I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. What are you trying to get to? I'm trying to get to God was believed on in the world. So Peter said, I understand now that God is not a respecter of persons. I understand now that God ain't got no favorites. I understand, but that everywhere those that believe the gospel can be saved. So Peter preached to those Gentiles the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of his preaching, somebody in the audience believed what he was preaching. I wish somebody would believe what we're trying to preach today. You'll get the same results that they got in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, around verse number 44, if I recall. While Peter was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of that prophet, the very spirit of Jesus, the very spirit of God himself, fell on all of those that heard the word, because they believed in what they were hearing, and God filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who else met that requirement? Believed on in the world. Who was preached? Jesus was preached. Then the Bible goes on to say, believed on in the world and received up into glory. This same Jesus, I'm in the first chapter of the book of Acts now, around verse number 11. Ye men, glory, hallelujah, why stand ye here gazing? Woo, glory, what you looking up for? You need to be looking out. Glory, hallelujah, this same Jesus whom you see go up in the clouds, he's going to return
in like manner. So who is the one and the only one to fulfill all of those forms, all of those circumstances, all of those requirements? Nobody but Jesus. No controversy. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. And it's still Jesus. That's what we need. That's what they need. They need faith in Jesus. Faith in the power of his name. I hear. God said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. So let me get back to Acts, the third chapter. We'll deal with that prophet. I think we got an idea who this prophet is. His name is Jesus. So Peter said, and verse 16, and his name through and by faith in his name has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by him, Jesus, has given this man the perfect soundness of body before you all. Would to God that we can deliver perfect soundness to people we come in contact with. They look all right. They could front off. And if you don't have real discernment, they might get by your initial gaze. But would to God that we would be led so by the Spirit of God that we can see you're in need of perfect soundness. How you doing? I'm all right. No, you're not. How you doing? I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. What's going on with you? I don't want to talk about it. You ain't got to talk about it. Not to me, but I come to give you perfect soundness. If you will allow me to grip you by the hand. Come on, help me. Come on. Just grip you by the hand and just pull you up and say, look, God sees what you're going through. God knows it's time for you to get up and get to moving. And when I pull you up by faith, then you're going to be praising God. We got to go to people. We ain't got to get all in their business. But we have what they need through the power of the name of that prophet. His more than a prophet, the prophet of prophets, the very God himself. So somewhere in that third chapter, I believe he refers back to what Moses said in Deuteronomy, around 22, 23, somewhere. I think, let me get it to kind of tie this up. Let me work my way down there. Will y'all allow me to do that? Thank you. So repent. He talks to Israel. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. Some of us paralyzed because we won't repent. Let me wipe some sweat on that one. Some of us are stuck because we don't want to repent. Y'all remember the expression stuck on stupid? I'm not calling you stupid, but you might be stuck. He said, so repent. Change your mind and purpose and turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, may be blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovery from the effects of the heat, of what you're going through, of reviving with fresh air. God wants you to have some fresh air. Y'all know, they say it's going to be hot this week. They say it's going to be 90-something in the valley. Y'all going to be looking for some fresh air. Have some fresh air condition, and make sure you hydrate. Drink plenty of water so you can keep your body replenished and refreshed. But God wants your soul more than your body refreshed. He wants the air. He wants to breathe. You need some fresh air. You need a revival in your spirit, times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come. Where it's going to come from? From the presence of the Lord. and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah. He wants to send Jesus to you, who was before designated and appointed for you, even Jesus. He said, I'm going to send Jesus. When we receive the Spirit of God, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive Jesus. God said, I want to send him to you. You got mail. God said, I want to send him to you, but I'm not going to send him to you unless you repent. You got to repent. It says, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke of by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past. See, time's winding up. You hear what I said? It's winding up. And God said, I want you to get this mail, whatever. Now, there's some junk mail that you don't need to have. Don't waste your time. Put it in the shredder or put it in the trash. But this mail, you need to open. God said, I'm sending you Jesus. And there's an expiration date on this package. There is an expiration date on this package. But the problem, if you want to call it a problem, is we don't know when the expiration date takes place. When he returns, that's the date. Oh, I was going to. Too late, I was going to. Open the package now. Receive the package now. What's the package? Receive Jesus now. Receive that prophet now. I hear Jesus talking in John, somewhere around the sixth chapter of John. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think, you rear back and rest, and you feel that you are safe. You think that you have eternal life according to the scriptures. Now watch, Jesus was actually talking about the Old Testament scriptures. He said, search those, because he was actually living the New Testament. He said, go back and search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they, the scriptures, are talking about me. That prophet. He said, all their writing is about me. From Genesis to Malachi, it's about me. But y'all don't see it. That's what he told them. And sadly, people don't see it. They don't see it. They think you need Jesus and something else. Or some people think you don't need Jesus. But all you really need is Jesus. That's all you really need. All right, let me find. Yeah, here it is, 22. Thus Moses said to the forefathers, The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren as he raised me up. Him you shall listen to and understand by hearing and heed in all things whatever he tells you. See, that's the correlation between that scripture we first read. And Peter used the occasion of the healing of this man to remind his audience that that prophet has come and his name is Jesus Christ. Watch verse 23. He says, and it shall be that every soul that does not listen to and understand by hearing and heed that prophet shall be utterly terminated from among the people. You want safety? You get it in Jesus. Huh? You want security? You get it in Jesus. You know, there was movements and there were slogans that came up through movements, through human movements, that talked about no justice, no peace. Y'all remember that? And sometimes that cry still echoes in different parts of our country. But what we should be courageous enough to cry, and the way that we live, more importantly, is no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. If I'm reading this right, if we don't heed to the prophet, he said, every soul, y'all see that? And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to and understand by hearing and heed that prophet, what prophet? Jesus, the one we took the time to point out to you, right? Every soul shall be utterly exterminated. Uh-oh. Wow, that's even worse than terminated. You know what an exterminator does, right? Kills. Lord have mercy. What we gonna do with that? Y'all see that?
So this is the prophet, Jesus. So whatever the Spirit of Christ allows us to do, beware that we don't try to claim glory for ourselves. Point them to that prophet that was prophesied. Point them to God manifested in the flesh. Point them to Christ. Tell them that they need Christ. Huh? And show them how to accept what he has already done, to accept the salvation plan, the foolproof plan of salvation. Just repent. Have a change of heart, a change of mind. Turn your life over to the one who paid for your soul. He bought our soul. He owns the rights and privileges to our eternal soul because he poured out his life on the cross of Calvary. So if you're here today, in my conclusion of this part, if you're here today, I want to refer you to that prophet. I want to place you in the hands of Jesus the Christ, the one who was prophesied and who is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God has declared. God's anointed, the Christ, the Messiah, the only author of eternal salvation is Jesus the Christ. And if you have him and he has you, then your salvation is secure. If he has him and he has you, then your salvation is secure. Now, what do you mean by that? Repent. Believe the report. Believe the report. And he said, I'm sending back the promise of the Comforter. I'm sending back the Spirit of the prophet. I'm sending back the very Spirit of Christ to indwell in you. Because I hear the Bible said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I didn't say that. The prophet said that. And every word of God is true. So here's an opportunity for someone, maybe more than one, to make a calling and election sure. If you've never received the Spirit of Christ, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, if you are in doubt, if there's any question in your mind that you have received the genuine Spirit of the living God, I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to come. All you have to do is believe. Believe. God sent back the Holy Ghost. He sent back the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place. In one accord. This is our part. Those of us who have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, this is where we need to be right now. I feel at this moment, on one accord, praying that those who have yet to receive the Spirit of Christ, that they would yield to the urging that I believe that God is urging and pulling them with cords of love on their hearts to open their hearts to receiving the fullness of the Spirit of Christ. So that's our part, those of us who have already received. We should be on one accord. And actually, we should be offering up some praises to God. Huh? We should be offering up some praise. That, if I read correctly, that was the atmosphere on the day of Pentecost. So now, here's the thing. I'm not telling those of us, now we need to be critically clear on this. I'm not telling those of us who have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost to start speaking in tongues. I'm not saying that. I'm saying start offering up praises to God. Huh? Set the atmosphere with praises to God. We can do that. Set the atmosphere with praises to God. Just start speaking praises in your section. Just start blessing God in advance for pouring out his Spirit on those who have yet to receive it. Just start doing that. This is what we have to do as a church. You see, because if I read the Bible correctly, they were praising God. Huh? They were with one accord. They were praising God. And suddenly, the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven. So there needs to be an atmosphere of praise set. Those of us who have already been recipients of the Holy Ghost, we can't be jealous or selfish now. This is the time for us to participate.
This is the birthing room, where the atmosphere, we ought to paint the walls and the ceiling with praises. Surround this atmosphere right now with praises unto God. And then the Bible says that suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, we want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you'll speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. We're not so necessarily hung up on tongues. We want the filling, because God knows how to speak. God knows how to speak. So let's set an atmosphere of praise. There may be someone in our section. There may be someone in our section. Come on, this is when we need to prevail. This is when we need to push. This is when we need to set an atmosphere of praise. And if you're here this morning and you haven't received the Holy Ghost, I would just encourage you to lift up your hands even right now where you're sitting. You ain't got to come forward for this. God can meet you right there where you are. Just lift up your hands and thank God by faith. Thank God by faith for his promise, and receive the promise that God has already declared is yours. Receive the impartation and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's lift up some praise. God, you're great. God, you're glorious. God, you're excellent. God, you're faithful. You're a promise-keeping God. We're believing you now to fill our brothers, to fill our sisters, to fill that man, to fill that woman, to fill that boy, to fill that girl. God, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, God. Fresh fire, fresh wind. We bless your name. Oh, God, do it for your glory, God. Do it for your honor. Do it for your renown. Do it, God, because you're God. Do it, God, so that you might be praised. We bless you now, Lord. Set free now, Lord God. Send them faith, oh God, to receive your word. Come on, come on. Let's praise God. Come on, come on. Let's praise God. Let's praise him like it was us trying to receive it. Let's get that kind of a praise. Can you praise for your brother? Can you bless God for your sister? Can you praise God for those in the delivery room? Come on, lift up a praise in here. Bless your name, God. Fill somebody today, oh God, with the Holy Ghost. Fill, Lord. Deliver, Lord. Set free in the name of Jesus. Come on. Listen, we got to get up and start walking around. Come on. Come on. Get out of your comfort zone. Come on. Walk around. You ain't got to embarrass nobody, but just pray. Come on. We're partners in ministry. This is what ministry is. Come on, come on, come on. Open up to God. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Stand up. God's been too good to you. Lift up a praise to God. God spared your life. Yes, he did. God spared your life. Give him praise. Give him praise. Come on. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Come on. God's good to you. You know he's good to you. You ought to bless the Lord. God's good to you. Kept you
bless
alive.
You, Lord.
He kept you from danger, seen and unseen. God's been too good for you to sit there with your mouth closed. Come on, give him praise. Give God praise. Open up your mouth and give him glory. Open up your mouth and give him praise. God's good. Yes, he is. God's good. Believe the promise. Receive the promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's for you. Oh, yes, it is. It's for you. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, receive it. The Bible said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Ghost. God, let the rivers flow in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow in the name of Jesus. Do it for your glory. Do it for your glory in the name of Jesus. Do it, Lord, for your renown. Do it for your honor. Fill with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Set free, God. Set free, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Deliver.
Loose the bands of wickedness.
In the name of Jesus. Be delivered.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Be delivered. In the name of Jesus.
Have your way.
For your glory.
Have your way.
For your glory.
Do it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Do it for your glory. For your glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your glory. For your glory, Lord. Do it for your glory. Hallelujah. Do it for your glory, Lord.
We pray
for your glory.
Your name.
Hallelujah.
We praise your name. We praise your
Hallelujah.
Name. We praise your name.
Do it for your glory.
Save today, Lord. Save today. Save today. We praise your
name. Do it, Lord. The promise is unto you.
He wants to save you. I just want to thank you, Lord. It's been so good. He's been
Hallelujah.
So good.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
He's been so good. He's been
Hallelujah.
So good.
Hallelujah.
He's been